All right, well, if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Exodus chapter 18. And I want you to ponder this idea of what does it mean for someone to, what are the dynamics of someone giving you maybe a hard truth? How do you receive a truth from someone that maybe you don't want to hear, but you know you need to hear? Because I think that's what God has us. That's what God has for us this morning. Remember Moses. We're just using Moses, and God has written down, the story of redemption and Moses being a leader in that story. God has used him, and he is a fallible man. We know that. And we know that he actually committed murder. And so this is a guy who has committed a felony, right? And God gives him grace. And remember, he ran away from God for 40 years. During that 40 years, he got married. And he lived in the house of his father-in-law, right? And I don't know about you, but how would you like it if God's instrument of grace to you was your in-laws, right? Not of blunt trauma, but of grace. So for Moses, he actually lives with his in-laws, and he's in Midian for 40 years. And now all of a sudden, God has done some awesome things. And he is overwhelmed now with, how do I care for all these people that God's given me? That was his job. And what happens to you when you're overwhelmed in your job? And it could, it could be your job, your vocational job. It could be at home. What happens? And basically, Moses is having to do a ton of work. And we get Exodus 18 here. And so would you read with me? This is Exodus chapter 18. Jethro is the name of Moses' father-in-law. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people, Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And the other was named Eliezer, for he said, My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and two sons. So, obviously, Moses had sent his wife and his sons to stay with his father-in-law for a little bit. Now, all of them are coming out, and we don't know exactly what's about to happen here, but now they're going to come and see Moses. So, Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. I don't know if you do that normally with your father-in-laws, but, that's the way they did it back then. But they were honoring one another. That's what they're doing. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Now imagine this. You had lived with your father-in-law, your in-laws, for a long time. You'd built up a relationship, right? And then you realize, okay, God has called my son-in-law to be a part of this massive exodus. You are reunited with your son-in-law, and he sits down. He's like, hey, I want to tell you this story. You're not going to believe what I got to see. You're not going to believe. So we're there in Egypt, and God decides to pull us out of Egypt, and he uses these 10 plagues, and he's telling his dad-in-law this. Like, we used the plague of gnats and frogs, and he used darkness, and he kind of slayed all the livestock, and the whole entire Nile was turned to blood. You're not going to believe what God did. And finally, he sent this angel, and it passed over us, and then we were able to leave. And then next thing you know, we're at this body of water, and then God parts the waters at the parting of the Red Sea, and then you know, we walk through, and then the big Egyptian army, all of a sudden we turn back and we think it's over, but they are now, the waters come back together and they are drowned and we're free. And I got to be a part of that. Imagine you're Moses and you're sitting with your father-in-law and you're telling him this story. Like, whoa, this is unbelievable. And you kind of feel that in this passage. They greeted each other and he begins to tell the story. Now, not only that, not only did he tell the story, what does the scripture say the next verse? His father-in-law was delighted. What do you do when you can tell someone's loving your story? You're telling them a story and they're like, oh my goodness, and then what happened? And then this? And they're engaged and delighted to hear how God might have used you in whatever way. And so here is Moses with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he's delighted to hear about all the good things that God has done, right? In rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. And so he says, praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. And so what is happening here? I mean, he lived with them for a long time, and he got to know his in-laws. And now God used him, and there's no jealousy here. There's enjoyment from his in-laws. So he goes to Zipporah's family, and they are delighted with how God has used him. Jethro is like, my daughter married into this, and God is using it. And he just told me the story of this dramatic rescue. And the response isn't jealousy or picking it apart or saying, well, I wonder if you could have done that a little bit better. Or maybe you shouldn't have done this and could have done that. No, it was just delight. It was, okay. And you know what? Not only am I delighted with this, let's eat a meal, right? And in fact, we'll burn a sacrifice and let's eat a meal and we're all in the presence of God. So what's happening right there? I mean, what is essentially happening in that? Very basically, there is trust and care and it's established. Who in your life do you have this with legitimately? It doesn't have to be perfectly, but legitimately, who do you have trust and care with? Is that in any of your key family relationships, maybe in any of your key friendships, is true trust and care established? Because this is so important. Because what's going to happen is now Jethro is going to see a little bit more into Moses' world. And if you don't have this, this is where this breaks down. Because if someone looks into your life and maybe sees something that is off, if this isn't here, man, the whole thing breaks down. And when you have this trust and this care, I think God, who is committed to what? Moses and his holiness. He is committed to you and your holiness. In other words, that just means your spiritual growth. That you have maybe you were a spiritual infant, and God said, I am committed to making you, to grow, to spiritually get taller and stronger. And I want to ultimately make you into a spiritual adult. That's the goal. And he's doing that with Moses still. And so this is established with his father-in-law. Verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening, and they went to work with him, right? Your father-in-law goes to work with you. Your mother-in-law goes to work with you. Someone who you have care, who you know knows you and cares about you, trust is established. Let's imagine that they, for a day, for a week, they do life with you. And they see, okay, this is when they wake up. This is when they get their coffee. These are their basic interactions before they send their kids to school, okay? And then when they get home at 8, or they get home at 6, or they get home at 4, and this is basically the way they talk to their kids. This is basically the way that they do their marriage. This is basically, right? And he gets insight into Moses' life. Like, so this is your life, Moses. This is what you do. And it says, you know, they stood around him as he took his seat to serve as judge. And judge meaning, hey, there are disputes and there were pain. From morning till evening, they watch him. Now, this is someone who loves Moses. What do you do, right, when someone says, verse 14, to you? When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. There's some of us in this room, I know that you feel passionate about what God has called you to. And, you know, take your work, and you know this is exact. You're doing exactly what God has called you to do, right? Take maybe your work in the home. This is exactly what God has called you to. And all of a sudden, you have someone who loves you, and they come and they watch you do it. And they say, Frank, there is no way you can do this, man. This is ridiculous. They come and they see you at work and they say, what? You have all of this to do? Are you kidding? Do you know what time you get home now? Do you know that you are on from 6 a.m. until 9:30? That from 5 to 8, you are in a fog. I mean, no one can even talk to you, right? You're just, you know, you're here. You are just thinking about either work, or you only think about the dynamics of the family. There's no margin in your life at all. You know what is taken over your life? Some people kind of phrase the tyranny of the urgent, right? It's the tyranny of the next urgent thing. That will come. It's 11:22. That's going to come right when you walk out of here and you look at your phone and you get a text. And that's the next urgent thing. And it takes over your life. And then the next text you get, or the next email, or the next phone call. And it is, you are just ruled by the urgent. And here is Jethro, and he's looking at Moses' life. He's saying, there is no margin. You can't see what you can't see, right? You can't see your life, and I haven't been in your life, and I'm more objective, and I'm not in your life, so I can see your life. And Moses, this is unhealthy. And you know what? Moses, I know that you are passionate about what you do. And you know what, Moses? I love hearing the stories about how God used you. And you know what, Moses? That you led the Israelites out. There's no denying that, and I want to honor that. But you know what, pal? You cannot do this. And you know what we say and what I say? I want to do it, Frank. I planted this church, and I know how to do it, and I feel like I should. And I get nervous to give things away. But what Moses and what God is saying through Jethro is this: you can't do it by yourself. And a lot of you are doing it right now just by yourself, and you're so fearful of saying, you know what, I have to keep things in here. And Jethro says, no, look, this isn't healthy. You are about a year away from an affair, pal, right? You are about a week away from not just having one drink, but having three. You're a month away, right, from doing things you never thought you'd do, because you know what? You've become so thin and you're doing for God that you aren't in God. How many of us in this room do things that we feel we're called to for God, but we're not in Him? We're not talking with Him. We're not experiencing the balance that He wants us to have. And here comes this, you know, this truth from his father-in-law. What does he say? Says even more. Moses, I love you, right? And I hope you know that I trust you, but here's the deal. What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. And that is the last thing that I think a lot of us in this room want to hear. That is the last thing I want to hear so many times. Don't tell me that, please. I don't want to give things away. I want to do it at the scale, at this scale, but it's mine. But I want to continue to grow it. And I want to continue to improve it. And I want my family to look this way. And I want my church to look this way. My work to look this way. But I want it to be mine. And Jethro is looking at Moses and saying, you cannot do it. These are the words of God from your father-in-law, oddly, who loves you, man. You cannot do it by yourself. So listen to me, son, right? And I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. You must do that, right? Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. So what does he do? He affirms what he's doing at some level. Like, yes, no, of course you're doing what God wants you to do, but here's what we need to do. The scale at which you are doing it is bananas. It's way off. And maybe some of you really need to allow God to come in through some loved ones and say, that was verse 17. I just read verse 17 through 20. And say verse 21. And this is hard. Let's go to the next one. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over, I mean, we're talking, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelites here. Up to a million, some people. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to scale off this division of labor. And hey, I need you to appoint some over the thousands, some over the hundreds, 50s, and then the tens. But we got to divide up this labor. And you are going to have to what? You're going to have to trust other people to help you. You cannot be, right? You cannot be all things to all people. To the point where you are going to burn out because the work is too heavy for you. And some of you have never heard that message from God before. You say, no, it's not. No, it's not. And you know what? A month in May, here's where you're going to end up. In August, here's where you're going to end up. Here is where your drive for work or your drive just to make sure your kids are like this. Here's what it will do to your marriage, right? And you'll wake up one day and you realize you haven't opened your Bible in 6 months for more than 2 minutes. You realize, oh my goodness, I've been so focused on something that is good but isn't the ultimate. I haven't prayed for more than 30 seconds at one time in the past year. All I do is these quick, God, help me do this. God, I need your help. And you just realize God has become a vending machine for you because you just want stuff from him and he wants your heart. And what Jethro is saying is we have to divide the labor here, right? We have to have people help you so that you can have margin in your life, so that you can have balance in your family and in your work life, right? So you can make sure that you're participating in the church, but you better not worship the church or get so involved with church that it becomes like you don't even, you know, you're neglecting your kids or your marriage, but don't love your kids so much that you're neglecting the church or you're neglecting your own private time of worship with God. So you need people to help you. Can you hear that? Who in your life could actually say something like this to you? Because this is a hard message. Because what I want to do is I want to, if I want to not hear something, I can break down the messenger. Oh, Jethro? Oh, well, here's what I know about you, bud. I married your daughter, but I know some stuff, right? I know your weakness. And this is exactly what Moses could have done. I'm going to start breaking down the messenger. So I got to rationalize maintaining my world. And that's the question. Is Moses going to do that? Is Moses just going to say, you know what? This is just another guy dropping a truth bomb to me, but there's, you know, it's his perspective, right? And there are people in your life that God gives for you to hear specific truths from. And I think many times we miss out because we can just break them down and say, this is what you are. This is your weak point, and we don't hear from the Lord. And this is what Moses could have done. So Jethro says, look, Select capable men, verse 22. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Do you want balance? If you would listen to me, I tell you what. Yeah, you're going to have to trust these other judges. You're going to have to trust these other guys, and you're not going to be able to hear everyone, but you are going to be able to hear some. And you will be used in some of the same ways, but if you function this way, you will burn out. Moms, you got to give yourself room, right? Even away from your kids. You've got to trust other people with your kids. Dads, you have to trust other people with your kids. You have to trust that I'm going to close the laptop, and yes, you're not going to be able to return that email, but you know what? God wants me to spend time with my wife tonight. God wants me to go just walk into my daughter's room and sit down and have a conversation with her. Because I need to build that up. I need to build that relationship up and so that, you know, the family will be strong. And unbelievably here, beautifully, Moses, he listens. I mean, that to me is what's so exciting about this. He decides to listen to wise counsel. Moses listens to his father. He doesn't deconstruct the guy. He listens. What does it mean for you to listen to somebody? To really hear it? I mean, when's the last time someone's come in and said, hey, look, Frank, you got to let some stuff go. Remember when you were a church planner and you could do it all, and all of a sudden it began to grow, and you still wanted to do your way, and then all of a sudden you realize it grew even more, and you're like, oh, man. And then you started to let people down, and they. I need you to divvy up the work, man. Come on. You're going to hurt this place. You're going to hurt it more than you're going to help it. And what does it mean to listen and to say, okay, you know? And that's been part of the process for our church. That's the part, I think it's the process for any probably healthy organization. Healthy organization, a Christian organization, a Christian business run. Hey, look, we've got to make sure that there is health, that there is margin. And Moses listened to his father-in-law. In Acts chapter 2, the church began to grow, and it was quickly apparent that all of the apostles couldn't take care of all the needs. And so what they said is, here's what we're going to do. We're going to form another role called deacons, and deacons are going to take care of more of the physical mercy needs of the community. And so there was the first diaconate, and you had the elders. Who? What were they responsible for? The elders were responsible for the spiritual care, right? For the teaching and the preaching of God's word, for praying over the people to love on them. And then there was a bunch of other needs too. And so God said, form the diaconate. And that, they will begin to take care of the physical needs, of the mercy needs, of the social justice needs. And that way, hey, with many hands makes light work. So there is balance. And Moses, what does he do? He chose to listen. And when the New Testament church began to do that, churches began to grow even faster. And they became more healthy. And so what does it say Moses did? He chose, the last few verses of this chapter, he chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses. But the simple ones, they decided themselves. Then Moses, this sounds funny, then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. Okay, dad-in-law, thank you. On your way now. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be read, but just thinking about maybe the way I wanted to read it, I kind of read it that way. Don't read it that way, though, okay? Don't. Thanks for the truth bomb, right? But he did it in love, and he listened, and they found capable men. And you know what? Israel became more healthy. God wants to tell you and tell me, look, maybe for some of you, you don't have anybody that you really, really would hear the words to. So you know what you need to do? You need to establish some more trust and care in your relationships. If there isn't even enough trust and care for you to hear, for someone to lovingly come into your room and say, look, I don't do this often, and I won't ever do this often, but there are some times and there are these moments in life that I just need to tell this to you. And I love you, and I think your strengths are unbelievable, and no one's calling you away from this, but hey, I need you to put down the phone, put down the laptop. You know, student who's nervous about all, only thing you're worried about is your grades. The only thing you're worried about is your SAT score or whatever. I need you to close your book, right? Because this has taken over your life. And I need you to, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring some help into our family. And this is an area that we struggle and we don't want anybody to know. But you know what? It's ruling our family now because we're trying to hide it so much. And it's such a weakness. So we're going to get some help, all right? And we're going to make some phone calls. And we're going to let some people know, you know. What we're going to do, I mean, we just did a survey with the youth of junior and senior high. And what was so awesome is we asked, would you want a Sunday school / small group ministry? Would you want more of those? And 80% of the students said that they would love to be in a small group, you know, of not just because you can't be discipled in a group of 50 or 60. You can hear a sermon, you can hear a youth talk, but you can't be discipled. And they wanted small groups. But you know what that means? It means that we need small group leaders that would be willing to meet with students. We have families here that want to be in groups, but people that aren't willing to lead, but we need leaders. We need leaders to break down our church to make sure that people get cared for. Because if they're not being cared for, ultimately, you know, we know you're going to leave. You know, if you're not being spiritually cared for, spiritually resourced, why would you come, right? We know that, hey, a sermon's good, and we want to make sure that the worship is great and the sermons are great. But we also know that you have to be in fellowship. And if we don't do that well and divvy up labor, then we will be an unhealthy church. And so, you know, as I thought about that, and I'm like, okay, are we doing that here? Are we breaking down labor effectively? And I think that's, you know, we talked about small groups, so I brought Morgan in to begin to do that even more. But we need leaders to help do that. To the extent that we can do that, the more healthy we will be. And then, you know, hey, take that from maybe a church level to the family level. What are the ways in which you are maybe trying to be too much, right? You're trying to be too much maybe for your kids. And you need some margin from them. That's a good thing to bring in help and to let someone else speak to your kids. I know for me, when I did have a youth pastor, that didn't mean that my mom's voice or my dad's voice didn't mean a lot. It didn't mean a ton, but it was good for me to have another pastoral voice in my heart. And then I had, on top of that, I had had buddies, but I had other, you know, couple of uncles that were pretty close with me, and I felt like God used all those different voices, and He's telling Moses, you can't be all things to all people. And I think some of us in this room need to hear that. You can't do it by yourself. When someone comes to you, and you know they care about you, and you know they don't have an agenda, And they aren't going to be perfect, but they come to you in love and say, look, I see this in your life, and I'm scared for you. Not because I want something from you, but I think this is hindering the growth of you, Moses, and it's hindering Israel. Could you hear that? If someone brought that to you this afternoon, gave you a call at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon and said, hey, I need to talk to you about this one part of your life. Because the beauty of it is Moses could have just... I mean, he had so much influence. He had so much power. I mean, he held up the rod. I mean, the world changed. He hits a rock and water comes from it. You don't think Moses could have just deconstructed his father-in-law like that? I mean, he was the most powerful man within all, you know, all these people. What did he do? He listened. He humbled himself and he listened. When you think about the humility here, to me, this points me to the humility of Jesus. When his father said, hey, no, he comes, and we talked about this 3 weeks ago. He comes to his father and he says, I don't want to get up on the cross and die, Dad. Take this cup from me. His father essentially says, no, you're going to do this. This is the best thing. What does Jesus do? He says, okay, all right, I'm going to listen to my father. I'm going to listen to my father. He listened to wise counsel. It all points us to Jesus. So where are you? What is something that you know people have been trying to tell you? And maybe you've deconstructed what, you know, that relationship is, but you know they care for you. Or maybe you've heard something, or maybe you want to say something to somebody else. And you know what? The truth bomb will come, but you have to take time to build up trust with them and care for them. You need to take them out and build a relationship. And you know, over time, you'll get an opportunity to say what you think you need to say to them. But maybe you need to build that trust up even more. But when God works and he allows loving people to say hard words, I think life change happens. And that's what we need. That God wants to grow each one in this room for his kingdom. So let's pray and ask God that he would do that in our lives. God, I thank you for the humility of Moses. I don't know if I could hear a message like that from my in-law. I don't. But this type of message humbles me and points me to you and God, to the ways in which you work, and may I be open to that. May people in this room who maybe have just been hardened to anybody else's voice, will you soften their heart, maybe break their heart so they can, because they know it's coming from a good place. It's coming from a place of trust and care. God, allow this to happen within our families. God, allow this to happen within our marriages. That husbands be able to say to their wives truthful but hard things in a loving way. And God, wives will be able to do the same thing to their husbands and say, hey, babe, I love you, but I'm nervous about this. I think we could do it better. May we be able to hear that from one another. God, may a son be able to hear that from his father, a daughter from his or from her mother. These are big, crucial conversations that we need to have in families, that we need to have in churches, God, that you use to build your people up. You changed Moses because of this. You changed his entire work life because he listened to his father-in-law, and you made him healthier. Thank you for that. Do that to us, God. Do that to us even this week. In your name, amen.